As it is recorded in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians in your New Testaments in the pew, that is page 183. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
It's a pleasure to have Mike Pocock in the chancel again this morning. Mike is one of our own young men preparing himself for the Christian vocation, either in the church or the mission field, now in his third year at Washington Bible College, and we're grateful for his presence all summer working with our young people. You will remember that two Sundays ago, we spoke on the theme, To Know Christ. Last Sunday, the theme, Christ Our Resource. These matters laid upon my heart during vacation time. The importance for a very definitive statement and conviction on the part of all of us as Christians in these rather confusing days concerning Jesus Christ. Now, as a matter of fact, I didn't plan this as a course. I didn't think ahead to three messages. I've just been going Sunday by Sunday. But the point is that to know Christ is the supreme goal for the Christian. To know him better and better, more and more. Because in Christ, all the resources we need for now and forever are bound up. And to know Christ is not only to have these resources available, but operative. If I really study to know Jesus Christ, if this is the preoccupation of my life, to know him, the virtue which is in him will be in me. The perfection which is in him will be in me. And it will manifest itself through me. This is to know Christ. His very life, literally, actually, operative in me, showing through me, so that I am, as it were, transparent and he is incandescent inside. This is Christianity. No more, no less. That if I study to know Jesus Christ, every other issue in my life will be resolved. My piety, my morality, my ethics, my job. I'll be a better man on the job. I'll do my job more efficiently and effectively and productively. In my interpersonal relationships, as a husband in the home, or a wife in the home, or a parent in the home, or a child in the home, as a manager or an employee, as a teacher or a student. When I set out to know Jesus Christ, and I give myself to knowing Christ, knowing Christ communicates itself 360 degrees in my life, in every area, in all that I do and say and think. To know Christ will change my attitude toward other races, toward minority groups. To know Christ will increase my sense of civic responsibility to the PTA and to Election Day. To know Christ will keep me from being dishonest in business and in my personal life. Because when I know Christ, Christ Himself lives His life in me and through me. Now this is what we're saying. This needs to be said. It needs to be understood desperately. Because the whole pull, the whole drag, the whole tension in the Christian experience is the other way. The carnality in me, the flesh in me, that is drawing me away from dependence upon Christ to self-generated virtue. I cannot be tempted to sin. So I am tempted to virtue. And thus, the life of the Son of God is neutralized in me. This is the hardest thing we have to understand as Christians. But it is fundamental to being Christian. Now, I haven't begun my message this morning. But we come this morning to this wonderful theme, complete in Christ. Will you bow with me in prayer, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Unlike all of the great religions of the world, and here we categorically distinguish between Christianity and all other religions. Indeed, we insist that Christianity is not a religion. It is to be distinguished from religion. Unlike all the great religions of the world, the essence of which is the precepts of their founders, who remain separate and distinct from their teaching, Jesus Christ and His teaching are inseparable. He deliberately put Himself at the center of His message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread from heaven. And He said, follow Me. Come unto Me. Learn of Me. In a word, Christianity is Christ. He is the foundation and superstructure, the center and circumference, the substance, the essence of Christianity. One will never have a sound grasp of authentic Christianity, of Christian faith and life, until this fundamental fact is apprehended, comprehended. Christianity is Jesus Christ. For me, as he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, as he rose again from the dead, as he lived his perfect life, Christ in me, using my body as his temple, his tabernacle, his dwelling. Christ through me, continuing the mission he began 1900 years ago in one place at one time through the body of every believer around the world simultaneously. Now our text is the most lucid statement of this fundamental fact to be found in the Scriptures. Declares Paul the Apostle, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Incidentally, the message this evening is a sequel, a direct sequel, to the one this morning. This is not a subtle way to get you to come out this evening. It's just stating a fact. Well, we shall be discussing more in detail what will be brought in this morning, the how of this. I want to bring together parts of the four verses which were included in the scripture reading this morning to suggest the desired emphasis for our thinking. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Complete. The same root that is translated in the 9th verse, fullness of God, is translated in the 10th verse, complete. So that Paul is saying, you are in Christ filled full. In Christ, you have the satisfaction of every spiritual want. All you need, you have in Christ. Relate yourself to Christ, as we shall see in closing. Maintain that relationship. All that is in Christ will be expressed in you. It's there. Just let it have its way. Quit hindering it by your own efforts. In a very basic sense, the Christian life is effortless.
Now, there are many ways that we can look at this idea of being complete in Christ. I would like to suggest three. After you've been in a homiletic class in seminary, you can't get away from three. I would like to suggest three. Others will suggest themselves to you. We are complete in Christ, for in Christ is satisfied our need for fellowship with God. Now, this is basic to life. Every problem in the history, including the present mid-20th century threat of thermonuclear war, every single problem of mankind, individually and collectively, flows from man's alienation from God. Incidentally, you cannot have a democratic republic the way we have it in the United States of America without God. And this we had better see. You remove God from public life and you don't have America anymore. You'll have something else. You'll have something different. You won't have America. You will sacrifice the very deepest and highest that we need so desperately today. We need fellowship with God. All of our frustrations, our disillusionments, all of this, the discontinuity of life, is because man has alienated himself from God. Because man is not God-oriented. He is disoriented. And this infects all of life. All the time. Now, in Christ, man is reconciled to God. Man is a friend of God. Man has fellowship with God. God is his Father. Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every heart. Modern psychiatry has declared the human race is God-hungry. Another German psychologist has said that underneath all of the neuroses of life is the neurosis of emptiness. Billy Graham sits down at Harvard to a room full of psychologists and teachers of psychology, and he asks them, why do you want to sit down with me? Because, they said, we are convinced that man needs to be converted. How do you do it? St. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, O God, restless. Restless are our hearts till they find their rest in thee. This is the explanation for our discontent. This is the explanation for our dissatisfaction, for our restlessness, for our frustration. That never is enough. Physically, this is a problem in America. And the medical science and public health is concerned about the fact that we eat more and more food with less and less nourishment. So we have to have supplements and more supplements just to put the nourishment into our bodies that our food, which we eat so much of, doesn't give us. We are becoming year by year less and less healthy as a nation of people for a lot of reasons. One of them being our food does not have the nourishment that we need. This is true spiritually. We are a people, in large part, who have gone everywhere and seen everything and done everything, and there's nothing more to see and nowhere else to go and nothing more to do, and we're bored. We're fed up. All now we can know to do is more of the same thing. And you know, pleasure plus pleasure doesn't add up to pleasure. It always inevitably adds up to pain. You may be able to get away with one chocolate sundae or two chocolate sundaes, but you better stop somewhere along the line, because you compound pleasure and it results in terrible pain every time. And so we are a people who are satiated and terribly unsatisfied physically and spiritually and emotionally, psychologically. This is America today. Restless, dissatisfied, complaining America. We need God. And we'll be satisfied. When I am in Jesus Christ, I have fellowship with God. More importantly, when I am in Jesus Christ, I am literally united with God. Do you remember his high priestly prayer? That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us. Oh, how this is being misquoted to get a bunch of organizations together. What a misuse of the word of God. Listen to what he says. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be in us. Williams translates verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 2 this way. It is in Christ that all of the fullness of deity continues to live embodied, and through union with him, you too are filled with it.
With what?
With all the fullness of deity. Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple of God who dwells in you? Peter says we are partaker of the divine nature. The life I now live is not my life, it's literally Christ's life in me. Let Christ be himself in me. Just let Christ live his life in me and let me get out of the way. Let me quit trying. When I am in Christ, I am complete because God's life is now my life. That's why a Christian can't die, because he has a deathless life in him, Christ's life. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And that leads to the second reason we are complete in Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ we have eternal life. Now, you and I were made to live forever. Nothing less than eternity will ever satisfy man. Death has been through all of history and every generation the enemy of all mankind. Think of the monumental efforts that man has made to prolong life, to preserve youth, to postpone death. Think of the billions of dollars we spend every year to prolong life, to preserve youth, to postpone death. Nobody wants to get old and die. Even when we joke about it, We really would like to discover the fountain of youth. We want to live forever because God built eternity in the heart of man when he created him, and it remains there. Paul describes this in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 4. He says, while we are still in this tent, that is this body, we sigh with anxiety. Not that we would be unclothed. We don't want to get rid of this body. We think a body is kind of important. But it's so frustrating. I want to do so many things my body won't let me do. We don't sigh with anxiety in order that we shall be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up with life. We want to live forever, and we don't want to live forever like angels wearing a long white robe and playing a harp and flitting from cloud to cloud. No, we don't. We want to have bodies that will live forever. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary to give us bodies that are immortal and incorruptible. And we shall enjoy immortal bodies when Jesus Christ comes again. That's why we're complete in him. Because we want to live forever. But the wonderful thing about this eternal life that he gives us is that it's not simply endless years. Something that begins with the grave or with what we call death onward. But it is eternal here and now. We are complete in Christ because when we are in Christ, life has meaning and purpose and direction and a goal. Why am I here? Oh, the tragedy of the men that work for a living and don't know what they're living for. They work for a living in order to work for a living. They work hard to make money, to buy food, to get strength, to work hard, to make money, to buy food, to get strength, to work hard, until they go to the grave. Is it any wonder they drink? Is it any wonder they try to forget in any kind of pleasure they can find? What's the use? Why am I alive? Why am I here? The sheer meaninglessness of life. Well, in Christ, you are complete because you have a strong sense of destiny. You all know that you're here for a purpose. Life has meaning. Life is going somewhere. No matter how you make your living, you know what you're living for. Well, I want to close by reading verses 6 and 7 from Colossians 2 from four versions. Now, these two verses, to which we will refer again this evening, these two verses have implicit in them everything for living the Christian life effectively. This is the authorized version. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is J.B. Phillips. Just as you receive Christ, so go on living in him in simple faith. Grow out of Christ as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in. This is Berkeley's version. So as you did accept Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him, rooted and built up in him. This is William's translation. So just as you once accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue living in vital union with Him, with your roots deeply planted in Him, being continuously built up in Him and growing stronger in the faith. As you began with Jesus Christ, continue with Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. How do you do this? Well, we'll talk about that tonight. But let me state it simply now. How do you know anyone? How do you continue with anyone? You were introduced to them. My name is Dick Halverson. How do you do? I'm happy to meet you. What is your name? And you visit. That's the beginning of a personal relationship. Now, if you're really interested in this person you meet, you spend time with him. You communicate with him. You converse with him. You read what he has written, and you write to him and ask him to read what you have written. You spend time with people that spend time with him, who know him. No other way to know anybody. No great mystery secret to knowing a person. Spend time with that person. Can't help but know him. Walk with him. Talk with him. Listen to him. Read what he writes. Hear what he says. Spend time with those who know him and are friends. You'll get to know him. Can't help it. Spend time with Christ. Talk with him. Listen to him. Follow him. Spend time with others that know him, love him, who spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Heed it. You'll know him. Can't help but know him. And when you know him, you'll be like him. That's inevitable. Let us pray. Lord, bury in the heart of every person who heard this message this morning the fact that we are complete in Christ, period. For his sake,